would you find this?
Listen, no greetings here. Men should be able to sell themselves for drug money if they so choose.
Depends on the drug.
Yeah, I mean...
And how deep you are in the rabbit hole.
If you're willing to sling it around, sling it around. Right?
It's true.
All right, so here we go. A little pre-show, a little coke round table, cocaine round table. Episode 74, TH Fantasy, let's go. I'm Tony, I'm joined by Ryan and Shane. Craig's here. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Doing good. Well. I don't know how you guys have kept track of these numbers, because every time I'm assigned my number of the week, I have to look back at the previous week to see which number we had. I don't know how you guys have remembered to stay at 74. I'm like, 73, 72.
It's just like a constant ticker that's in my head. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, 73.
Actually, a big reason why we do this is because we kept forgetting early on, like, what episode we were on.
Yeah.
And it really helps. Really,
good way to keep yourself honest.
Uh-huh. I know. My mom's always like, hey, you should send me the old, like, SoundCloud links to your old episodes. And I'm like, no.
It's like looking at my high school photos on Facebook. Just, this is for me and me alone.
Yep. All right. So we've got... we got some stuff to talk about today. We got our 74s. We've got some free agency reacts. How do y'all feel about some mid free agency transactions?
Hey, dude, it's been a cool week. I've been loving it.
Yeah,
if you like real football, it's important. But fantasy, yeah. It's like, hey, you excited for RB3s?
Right. And that's why it's so important. Like, that's why we do our team recaps and after the draft, is because, like, it matters who, you know, Mike McGlinchey signed with. It does.
I love how Aaron Rodgers is just, like, willing players to the Jets, and he's not even a part of the organization yet.
Green Bay has no leverage anymore.
I don't know what fucking black magic that hippie has over these human beings. He literally convinced them to give Alan Lazard $44 million when they literally drafted a top five wide receiver and they have Elijah Moore. I don't get it.
You guys liked Corey Davis before. Well,
yeah, right.
What do you think about this Corey Davis?
And they have Conklin
and Uzoma.
That's going to be a pretty solid offense potentially.
And the biggest move of the week was Braxton Berrios to Miami. I mean,
of course,
game changer. Just a real scrappy.
Just got to fill in for Tyreek.
There you go. I'm saying they're interchangeable. You could line them up all over the field.
Yep. They have the same 40 times too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but they gave Braxton Berrios a 22nd or a 20 yard head start.
No, 22nd.
22nd head start. He started the clock at -24. All right, so what do you guys got for 74? Who wants to go first today? I gotta go last because mine's a longer one.
I can do a quick shout out.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Joe Klecko, former defensive end, defensive tackle for the Jets. He was part of the famous defensive line, the New York Sack Exchange.
Speaking of drugs,
bring us your sacks.
He never made it into the Hall of Fame, but there's a lot of people that talk that if he played a little bit longer, he would have been in the Hall of Fame. He was really good at his position. He currently sells metal stairs in the tri-state New York area. And serves as a representative for various construction companies.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Here's this guy from the Sack Exchange.
He had some small roles in 4 Burt Reynolds films, of all people.
Oh.
He was in Cannonball Run, apparently. He was in Heat. He was in Smoking the Bandit. And he was in Smoking the Bandit 2.
He reprised his role.
Yep.
Smoking the Bandit 2.
I'm actually going to go back and maybe watch that, some of those, and see what happens. But yeah, just a quick shout out, Joe Klecko.
There you go. Life.
I got to rewatch Heat again. I'll be on the lookout for Joe Klecko.
You know, I thought Heat, like, I remember growing up and being like, yeah, man, Heat's a great movie, but you really got to set some time aside for it. And then, like, you watch movies now and they're all 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, right. But Heat, like, it doesn't drag, but it is like a slow burn, right?
Yes.
It's like a There Will Be Blood. If there's something always happening, but it's like, yo, this is so much A to B.
Yeah.
I love those kind of movies. That's me, but I understand.
No, I do too.
Don't engage.
That scene in the diner with Pacino and De Niro, so fucking good. Two top tier actors.
Okay, so we're starting a new podcast. It'll be our umbrella company where we do a movie podcast every week too. So look out for that, guys.
Oh, that'd be fun. TH Fantasy on Cinema.
Ooh, I like it.
We all got plenty of time, right?
It's true. Sure. I got nothing but it.
What's this week's movie then?
Tar.
Tar?
Yeah.
One of the Oscar films?
Yeah. I'll get you guys on my Plex server that I don't actually have.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll watch them on Discord. We'll do movie nights. It'll be sweet.
That's what we do in my friend group. It's fun.
Hell yeah.
We watch bad movies. All right.
Go. So, Ryan, do you have one? I'm assuming you have one more as well?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Shane, you want to go do yours?
Yeah, I'll go mine. So my kind of bit on the show, I've realized, is I do an interesting name or specific year. So I'm kind of doing both again. So I'm taking us to 1974 Super Bowl between the Vikings and the Dolphins. But the pre-show.
Oh, okay.
Pre-show.
So at the pre-show, country western superstar Charlie Pride sang America the Beautiful in the national anthem. This was the first time in Super Bowl history that America the Beautiful was performed and the first time that it was used as propaganda in our ever-evolving state. So Charlie was born in Sledge, Mississippi, being the fourth of 11 children. But due to a clerical error, he was actually named Charlie. He was supposed to name Charles.
Charles?
Yeah, Charles Pride.
Charles.
So Charles, he played for the Memphis Red Sox in the Negro American League in 52. He joined the Boise State Yankees in 53, which is kind of like a starting. Semi-pro.
Sure.
And the interesting factoid of that, while he was kind of bounced around, is while he was on the Yankees, he was traded with another player for a bus. Charlie would later say in his memoir that Jesse and I have the distinction of being the only players in history to be traded for a used motor vehicle. So he was drafted in 56, discharged in 58, and he had no luck with teams because he suffered an injury that took the mustard off his throws, as he described. As he's bouncing around between teams, he played 3 games for the Missoula Timberjacks, but was laid off and moved to Helena, Montana to work construction. So I think we have like a blue collar theme involved in this episode.
Oh yeah.
While he's in Montana, the East Helena Smelterites picked him up and he worked as a smelter as the owner kept 18 jobs open specifically for baseball players and arranged their shifts so they could play ball and work.
Nice. So it's the Simpsons episode of the Springfield Nine.
Yeah.
Fuck
it. All,
yeah.
It all relates back. So while he was playing ball and being a smelter, his boss actually heard him sing a couple times and he would pay him to play or pay him to sing before games. And this would snowball his career and he would end up moving, his family to Texas in 69 because he needed access to an airport because he was asked to travel to different locations so he can sing. His career thrived in the early 70s as he kind of blended country, western and pop. It's kind of like, I would say is like grandma sway country. Like it's not offensive and it's not like
it's not outlaw.
No, it's not outlaw country. It's like safe country, but it's fun, right? It's not my genre, but it had some hits. In 75 he's credited as a hero in the UK and Ireland because he was one of the first people to break the touring concert ban by playing both sides during that tour. And
oh
yeah, Ireland invited him back like every year to play.
Oh, so he was in North and South Ireland?
Yeah.
Actually, that's relevant because tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. Excellent timing. And also... Yeah.
That was totally on purpose.
Today was Theme Thursday at my school. So it was a St. Patrick's Day theme. So I wore my Irish Republican Army shirt to work and no one said anything. It was awesome.
So you don't cover that in American history nowadays. We got to Vietnam and then we stopped.
Right.
All right. So he was the second best selling performer under RCA Records, right behind Elvis. He had 52 top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot Country. 30 were number one, and his most well-known songs were "Kissin' Angel Good Morning" and "Anyone Goin' to San Antone."
Those are great.
And he's one of three African-American members of the Grand Ole Opry and was inducted to the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2000.
Wow.
Really?
Charlie Pride.
That's good. Charlie Pride. That's a fun one. I like that. I like a good bio on a bland, inoffensive, your Alan's Jackson of the world.
Yeah. He had an interesting life, too, just being a cartoon character.
Sure. Well, I actually thought, like, when you said the Helena Smelters, I was like, that sounds like a semi-pro sports team. Like,
yep.
Like we said, we are big fans on this podcast. More fun team names.
Yeah. And especially if you're being a smelter and you're playing ball, you got to have some form of entertainment.
Right. I bet you they were like the Sparks. All right, Ryan, what do you got?
All right. We might as well go with another Chicago Bear this week.
Let's go.
Number 74, James Paul Jimbo Covert.
Jimbo Covert.
Born in 1960. Was part of the 1985 Bears winning Super Bowl championship.
Of course.
Born in Pennsylvania, as most of these offensive tackles we're talking about from like the 70s and 80s, were all, for some reason, they're all from Pennsylvania.
They're coal miners, boys. Man. Yeah. Pittsburgh went Toilets.
Went to Freedom Area High School in Beaver County, of course.
Naturally.
They had an 11-0 record at their high school. He eventually went to Pittsburgh College in 1978.
Of course.
He played in every game as a freshman.
I wonder how good, like, tackles, like, all pro, because Jimbo Covert was a great tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he made teams better, and it says here that he went, during his three-year career as a starter at Pitt, they were 31-5. Holy crap.
That's nuts.
In 1980 and 81, they both went, both seasons, they went 11-1. Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a really good offensive line, it makes it really hard to stop.
So in the 83 draft, the Bears picked him 6th overall. Because like Tony said, he's a stud.
Worth it.
Ditka's during the draft said Jimbo's the guy we wanted from day one. We put him at left tackle and moved on.
Yep. A Pittsburgh boy to a Pittsburgh boy.
He really made the Bears a lot better because it says in 1982, the Bears were 22nd in total offense. And by 1985, they were second.
Wow.
So he really improved that team's offense. Yeah, and the Bears also finished 2nd in rushing twice in 89 and 1990, and 3rd in 1988.
And that's with two different running backs, because that's Neil Anderson, too. It's not just Walter Payton. Okay. Like, think about it, man. He's the left tackle for the guy that was the NFL's all-time leading rusher for, like, 15 years.
That's right. His second year in the league, he was elected captain.
That's sick. Second year?
Yeah.
You think he showed up to practice in like a hard hat?
He was one of the Bears captains, yeah.
Lunch pail, real hard hat lunch pail guy.
Yeah. Lots of honors. He was with the great Bears decade in the 80s.
Yeah.
He now is in healthcare.
Of course.
He works at Baxter International, or he worked at Baxter International in the physical therapy division, where he didn't do actual physical therapy. He just was the director of sales.
Do you get a discount, you think? Director of sales gets free physical therapy?
Right. And he's worked in the healthcare industry pretty much since Health South Corporation. Still to this day.
Hall of Famer, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Like I was going to say earlier, I feel like I wonder, you know, we always compare players from different eras. I wonder if the best like 80s left tackles could compete against today's edge rushers. You know what I mean?
That's a good question because like I think the pain tolerance based on all the horse tranquilizers they were on back in the day would probably equalize against the athleticism seen today.
Oh yeah, they were floating, man. They had like a soft shell on the outside, extra protection of major pharmaceuticals.
When did they start recording like the 40 times at the combine?
That's a good question.
Because I would like to see like 85 linemen 40 times versus 2023 linemen 40 times. It's probably like a whole second different.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So Tony will enjoy this too. One last thing about Jim Covert. He was actually in a 20-man battle royal in WrestleMania 2.
There we go. That's the one that was reffed by, what's his name? By Too Tall Jones.
Too Tall. Dude, it's all come a full circle. Damn. It's so wild. Everything syncs up.
There's right? really only 8 players in the NFL.
Right.
That's awesome.
Mr. Stud, Jim Covert.
Jimbo Covert.
Love it.
So, all right. So we've had quite a few, there's been some career talk. So I got a guy. His post-playing career was not good. Anyways, so I'm going to put the old content warning on this one. If you're sensitive to pretty much anything, you should probably just skip to the commercial. So,
oh my God, what are you going to talk about?
All right.
Is it OJ?
Nope. We are going to start with the 1974 NFL draft.
Okay.
It's a pretty noteworthy draft. This is considered, actually, if you want to talk about full circle, this is considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest draft by a single team of all time. The Pittsburgh Steelers drafted 4 Hall of Famers in this draft, and an undrafted guy became a Hall of Famer.
Oh my God.
Can you put whoever is in charge of that in the Hall of Fame?
I'm saying,
right?
Right?
4 Hall of Famers? Oh my God.
A few episodes ago, we did a play called Ghost to the Post, and that was a pass thrown to Raiders tight end Dave Casper. Dave Casper was in this draft. Future Cowboys defensive coordinator and Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt was drafted in round 15 by Green Bay.
The Wannstedt. Hell
Dave
yeah.
Wannstedt, the most powerful Midwest mustache.
Yep.
But I want to talk about a Packers draft pick a couple rounds later. And don't Google it.
I was looking up the mustache, and it is powerful.
It's powerful. So let's talk about Randall Woodfield, a wide receiver. He was born in 1950 in Salem, Oregon, to a wealthy family as the youngest of 3. And as far as we can tell, pretty normal early childhood. So by middle school, he starts getting in trouble for exposing himself to people, which is pretty gross. So let's find out, does he learn his lesson? Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't learn anything. So despite being a sicko, he becomes a star football player for the Newport Cubs, Newport High School. All right. During this time, he exposed himself to a group of women on the beach and was arrested, and his coaches covered it up so that he wouldn't be kicked off the team. Good stuff, wow. Right? So there's a bit of a pattern, as you can tell. When he graduated high school, his record was expunged as he turned 18, and he went to go play football for the Portland State Vikings at wide receiver. So he plays well in college, but he is arrested multiple times. In his first year, 1970, he got arrested for vandalizing his ex-girlfriend's apartment. 72 and 73, he gets arrested for indecent exposure. This guy loves to pull it out.
He's just AB.
Oh, I like that. Let's hold on to that. Let's circle back to that comment. Instead of finishing his college, like his degree, he drops out and is selected in the 17th round of the 1974 NFL draft, pick 428 by the Green Bay Packers.
Damn.
So he moves away from Oregon.
I said, go Pack, go.
I'm saying. So he moves away from Oregon, and I'm sure the team ownership was hoping that, like, you know, change of scenery. Maybe he's going to stop pulling his penis out in front of strangers that don't want to see it.
Sure. Yeah, it's too cold in Green Bay.
Yeah, to whip it out for sure. So unfortunately, he gets cut. He gets cut before the season starts because, you know, you draft 17 rounds of players, like 90% of them are just going back to the steel mill. He plays that season for the Manitowoc Chiefs, all right, a minor league team. Ryan, I'm sure Ryan has gone fishing in Manitowoc, but I don't know where the fuck that is.
I've been to a Manitowoc Chiefs game. What, are you kidding me?
season ticket holder right here. So Woodfield goes back to the West Coast after that season. And so it's the end of 1974, early 1975. Shit goes crazy. So in early 1975, a number of women in Portland come to the police saying they were sexually assaulted and robbed by a man with a knife. To respond, the Portland police set up undercover officers for a sting operation, and Woodfield gets caught. When he's interrogated by police, he says he has poor impulse control due to steroid use from his playing career and gets a 10-year sentence.
Jesus.
He gets out after 4. And so, like, look, we're not going to use this space to have a talk about the criminal justice system, but I will say this. He's released in July 1979, and he commits a murder in October of 1980.
What?
He murders his ex-girlfriend, Sherry Ayers, in her apartment. He gets investigated. He refuses a polygraph test. Cops were suspicious of his interview questions. So even with all of that, he gets off because his blood type doesn't match semen found at the scene. I'm going to go ahead and take a gamble here and say that's most likely a result of 1980s technology.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't become prolific until OJ. And even then it was like, we don't know.
Right. It's the same color. So he and the victim, Ayers, had communicated when he was incarcerated, and she was trying to help rehabilitate him. So that's gross and sad and doesn't end here. So that's October. And on Thanksgiving, he murders Darcy Ann Fix and her boyfriend, Douglas Altig, execution style in her apartment. Once again, police are suspicious, but have nothing to hold him on. So all of January, he's going up and down the interstate, robbing and assaulting women. Strangely, and I had to put this in because this story is so gross that I needed something to make me laugh. While he's doing his robberies, he's wearing a Breathe Right nose strip like football players used to do.
Listen, I'm not going to slander the Midwest, but like, what the fuck is everybody doing up there, bro? Like, there can't be that much crime where the cops are so busy. Where they're just like, man, this guy got a calling card. We're not going to catch this.
We're on the West Coast now.
Oh, okay, never mind. All right, talk shit on the West Coast then.
No, I mean, keep it going. The Midwest is the same way, man. Look at, like, you know, look at Dahmer. Like, the police officer that walked that victim back to Dahmer, like, spent the rest of his career in law enforcement. They posted on his Facebook, like, hey, a few years ago, like, hey, happy retirement to sheriff or whatever, blah, 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 this cop. The whole comment section's like, remember when you murdered that kid? Like,
well, the Midwest, like, is 10 years ago. It's fine.
Very incompetent. So he's robbing people. He's robbing stores. He's committing several sexual assaults. And his victims are, unfortunately, all over when it comes to both age and circumstances. We're talking a dozen or so robberies, a double murder in Eugene, Oregon. There's a double murder in Mountain Gate, California in early February. So all through the first 2 weeks of the month, there's also a ton of assaults and robberies following the same pattern. So he got out in July 1979, and we are in January 1981. And so it's been a wild ride, but really October to January or to early February. So he plans a big arrival home in Portland for Valentine's Day 1981. He's like, I'm going to throw a huge hotel party. Everybody come. And nobody shows up at this whatever Marriott party, like not a single person. So he goes to someone named Julie Retz's house, who he knew from the bar he used to frequent, and kills her. February 28th, the entire police investigation was focused on Woodfield, and so they noticed the pattern he has of using payphones near the sites of his murders and robberies. And then a victim in Salem identifies him as the perpetrator of a robbery. Police get a warrant, find a spent shell casing from the gun used in the murders, and duct tape that matched the kind found at a crime scene, and Randall Woodfield is arrested. He's charged with a ton of shit, including murder, rape, sodomy, attempted kidnapping, armed robbery, illegal possession of firearms, and just whatever, tons. So from October 1980 through March 1981, Woodfield, who would come to be known as the I-5 killer, ran roughshod along the highway. He was given life plus 90 for murder, but the state of Oregon couldn't afford to charge him with the others because, West Coast. And so the district attorney, Chris Van Dyke, son of Dick Van Dyke, was satisfied with the sentence. They think he was at least involved in some capacity with the murder of a number of people ranging from 25 to 46.
Why is this never talked about?
The I-5 killer, man? I know. So
I've never heard about this, and I've listened to like 400 episodes of Last Podcast on the Left.
I'm saying, right?
Never discussed.
Like, so
turn into a murder cast.
I'm saying
we're doing movies, we're doing true crime, we're doing sports, we're doing everything.
So some potential victims that haven't been attributed to Woodfield are like bodies that they found him with the time and place. It's the two suspects are Randall Woodfield and Ted Bundy.
Jesus, like, Christ.
What? So how the fuck did any woman survive the 1970s? I have no idea.
I was actually thinking about that today because I watched a movie the other day that was like, man, I hope that's like the darkest part of history we never have to experience. And I thought about like Vietnam in the 70s. I was like, no, we did it again.
Yep, sure did. So he is still in jail in Oregon State Penitentiary as we speak. That's my number 74, Randall Woodfield, the I-5 killer and former Green Bay Packer.
Jesus. Fuck the Packers.
I'm saying this is a condemnation of the Packers.
Oh my God.
All right. Now that's perfect time for us to lead into ads, right?
Sure.
Sponsored by HelloFresh.
Wait a minute.
This one goes out to you, BetterHelp. All right. Goodbye.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this? Whopper, 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 Junior, Double, Triple, Whopper, Flame Grill tastes with perfect toppers, I rule this day.
And we're back.
I love when you do that. Sounds so good. All right, we've been told we have some breaking news from the desk of Shane.
So, league winner, running back who scored you 3 touchdowns in like week 8 of last year, signed to the Chicago Bears, Donta Foreman.
Donta Foreman.
What?
Yep. It's time, baby.
I think I like that. He looked decent with Carolina. He had those like, didn't he have like almost a 200-yard game, right?
He almost rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Rushed for like 900 yards.
Damn, was that much? Hell yeah.
Well, it's great as a rotation piece. And as much as that means that most of the rookies I scouted aren't going to matter because they're not going to draft one. As a Bears fan, that means that they're going to be drafting on the offensive and defensive lines, and that's really all they should be doing, because they also signed Robert fucking Tonyan today.
King of the blob.
Yep, Bobby Tonyan. So, suck it, Jets. All right, so before we...
Yeah, and Tonyan's from McHenry, too.
He is. So let's have some... I want to talk a little bit of quarterback, and before we, like... I don't know. Before we jump in about who has been signed, I want to give you a list real quick. All right. I want to give you a list of the available free agent quarterbacks.
Do it.
Carson Wentz. Marcus Mariota, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, Mason Rudolph, Cooper Rush, Drew Locke, Joe Flacco, Josh Dobbs, Chase Daniel, Nathan Peterman, Trace McSorley, Lamar Jackson.
Right off the top, though, Seattle did re-sign Drew Locke for 1 year.
Oh, he's back? Okay.
Yeah.
Take him off the list.
No.
However, I maintain that one of these things is not like the other ones.
Cooper Rush was pretty decent last year.
So is Lamar just going to play this year on the franchise tag?
Dude, you know what's going to happen is someone's going to trade for him after the draft. Wow. It's like the day after they pick their number one pick, they're going to be like, we're trading for Lamar. You can have our 24 and 25.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a while, like Shane says.
Okay. So let's talk about some quarterbacks that did get drafted, guys. We have Jimmy Garoppolo to Las Vegas. Thoughts?
I think Kurt 2.0.
Yeah, I think I like that.
Sure. Las Vegas.
I don't know how happy Davante Adams is about it, but.
Well, now we've also have Darren Waller traded away.
Yeah, dude, rip Bellinger. Yeah. What the hell?
I know. It sucks so bad.
We need a moment of quiet contemplation.
When Tony texted me that, I shed a little tear for Bellinger.
Waller will play 4 games this year. He'll be fine. Bellinger will get his.
That was like my immediate thought. I'm like, he's going over there. He'll play like 3 games and get hurt or something.
Well, weren't we talking about how much we fucking hate Josh McDaniel and like Darren Waller gets married to like a Las Vegas athlete and then immediately like the next day is traded to New York? Right. Like, fuck, man. They're humans. That sucks. Any desire to draft Jimmy Garoppolo in a redraft league as like a quarterback 2? Question mark.
I don't think I got rid of him or maybe I did in that dynasty league because I was down to like 2 or 3 quarterbacks. I think I still have Garoppolo.
What do you think about redraft?
He's low for me.
He's a waiver guy. I mean, he might be a weekly fill-in if you have to, but we'll see how he fits in with Josh McDaniels. Yeah.
Who knows? He could just show up there and just ball out too. You never know. But
what about
before the season starts? He's super low for me.
Because Kyle Shanahan's a lot different than Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, it's true. Let's talk about an issue near and dear to Shane's heart. We have Taylor Heinicke to the Atlanta Falcons.
My fucking king, bro.
That's Shane's guy right there. Taylor Heinicke.
I love Taylor Heinicke.
All right, Shane and Ryan. The line is 3.5 games. Taylor Heinicke starts in 2023. Higher or lower?
For Atlanta?
Yep.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, 3.5. With him too.
I think he's maybe could start 5, 6, or 7 games.
Unless they draft a quarterback, Ritter's gonna get sat by game 6.
Yeah. It's gonna be a Trubisky scandal.
Yeah, Trubisky to Pickett transition phase or Mike Glennon to Mitch Trubisky transition phase, one of the lowest points of my Bears fandom. So we've got Andy Dalton to Carolina, 2 years, 10 mil.
Good for him. He played really well last year.
He did.
He's going to be a good mentor for whoever they decide to draft, or he could still do some stuff.
He is going to be a placeholder for a rookie Ohio State quarterback twice. When they draft Stroud, oh my God, the circle of life.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston back in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I saw that. He's not a starter anymore.
Nope. Speaking of someone who is a starter, Baker Mayfield to Tampa Bay, 1 year deal. What do you think?
I really like that. I really like Baker. I mean, are Evans and Godwin retained next year, right?
Yeah.
It should be.
I don't know why they're not tearing it down, but they're not tearing it down.
Well, he's the perfect catalyst to get to 1-1 without anybody actually being like, okay, they're actively tanking their season. Because he'll play, he'll do his best, but that doesn't mean they're going to win.
I really hope that Tampa picks up a really good like draft tight end this year.
That would be nice.
Yeah, someone to roll with Otten and someone else really good. And it'll be good for Baker because he'll be doing a lot of checkdowns.
Yeah. We have, so that's pretty much the relevant quarterback roundup. I mean, we could talk about Jacoby Brissett in Washington. Doesn't do anything.
To the Raiders.
Yep. Sam Dalton is now 49er. Gardner Minshew to the Colts. Jared Stidham to the Broncos. Mike White to the Dolphins in a move that I like a lot, actually.
I thought he was going to be a Cardinal.
Oh, that would have made perfect sense. PJ Walker to the Bears. Case Keenum to the Texans. Kyle Allen to the Bills. So, not a lot of interesting movement. I think the only real fantasy thing that anyone would give a shit about is Lamar. Sure. And he's...
It's a wait and see.
Tell me why Washington isn't like, we'll just give you two firsts. Just take them.
Because Dan Snyder's cheap as shit.
Right. But it's so funny because they have, if they had a great Lamar level quarterback, they're instantly like a contender.
Well, they won't pay $150 for changing tables in the women's restroom. So I don't know if they're going to pay Lamar $250 million guaranteed. I mean, guaranteed. But then if Snyder sells the team, he's on the hook for the money, right? He can be like, hey, we'll sign the contract. I'm out. Yep. Good luck, Bezos.
Yep. Okay. So what do you guys want to talk about next? Running backs or receivers?
Running backs.
I think the biggest one's Miles Sanders to Carolina, right?
Yeah, that was pretty huge.
I think he's going to explode on that team.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he's going to have more of a target share and snap count, than compared to the Eagles. Yeah. And he's not going to be vultured at the goal line by Hurts. I think he's going to have a sneaky season.
I think they have a good running, offensive line.
And if they have a rookie quarterback too, they're going to lean on him a lot.
Yeah. And they brought in Hayden Hurst too. Carolina's.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're trying. They're spending some of that DJ Moore money. So we've got Jamal Williams to the Saints. So I'm assuming Alvin Kamara straight to federal prison.
Can they cut him? Like, how does that work? If you get put into prison, can you just be like waived from the team? Are you still on the hook for the contract?
I think you're on the commissioner's list, so you're exempt. So your money's off the books and you're not counted on the roster.
Okay, because I know that was what we were excited about J.C. Jackson after he had that like criminal charge, because we gave him like $80 million in L.A. And we're like, okay, not wishing bad on you, but in terms of sports, please don't let us have to pay this guy.
Right.
Yeah, but I think, Jamal Williams is the lead there for sure. They probably draft the guy Williams. Too.
I like Jamal Williams next year, man.
Yeah. Big question. Where is Zeke going to go?
Yeah, we have a cut Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they just cut him.
Who's paying him?
Yeah. Or is he going to take the pay cut, right? Is he going to be like, do I want to still keep going?
I don't think there's a team that pays him what he was making in Dallas at this point. There's no way.
Probably not.
He's got to be a backfield timeshare. And honestly, like we were talking about this last week, Zeke's, his body's fucking ruined because they gave him, 350 touches for like six straight years.
True.
And he held up for a really long time. He's beaten up. So I don't know. I could see him actually, Shane, I could see him in San Diego.
Or LA, we don't have any money, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw today maybe Buffalo because they said they wanted to add a heavier running back.
He's heavy. He's a thick boy.
Yep.
We have also James Robinson to New England. Does that do anything for you guys?
RIP Pierre Strong.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked. I thought Belichick was going to roll with three guys he's trying to develop now, but
he'll still draft a guy too. Watch sixth round to be like, hey, who wants to come be a pet?
Right. Yeah, right. A heartbreaker for me, and not even the heartbreaker we're thinking of. I'm thinking about the heartbreak for fantasy. Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert both re-signing in Miami.
Yeah, excited about that.
That team's weird, man. Like their moves they're doing, I'm just like, I get it, but I don't. Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been, to me, that's the premier running back landing spot in the draft. It was. Oh,
But like, what is there on their amount of pay? I know we talked about it a while ago, but like, what does that signal, right? Like, in relation to the other free markets of the running back room, do they, are they like a big percentage compared to others, or are they like a smaller percentage? Because if they're a smaller percentage, they could still draft somebody, right?
Well, the thing is Miami also re-signed Myles Gaskin.
What the fuck are they doing?
I'm saying, like,
what the hell?
It's like, I'm reserving judgment on the Miami Dolphins backfield scheme until final cuts of training camp.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because they're just throwing a bunch of mid at the wall, seeing what sticks. Right.
Did they announce who's going to be on Hard Knocks next year?
Nope, not yet. No. But I'm hoping it's the Jets.
God, no, chaos. There's no way though that Rodgers will allow that.
No, because he's a man child. Right. I want to talk about a low key signing real quick. Samaje Perine to Denver.
Wheels up, baby. I'm in.
I like it, man. I like it a lot. I think I want a lot of Samaje Perine in like best ball.
100%.
As long as Russell Wilson can crawl out of the hole from last year.
I think they're running an entirely different offense this year.
Yeah.
Because Peyton said, you make it work or I'm gone.
Right. And so I think I'm actually looking to buy low on a lot of Denver assets. Like a lot of these dudes coming into next year. I think Dulcich could have a great year. I mean, I know they're talking about maybe trading Sutton, but I think Judy could really step up this year. Judy had moments last year, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely the number one there for sure now.
Yeah. So I like that move a lot. And so I also want to give a shout out to David Montgomery to Detroit. 3 years, 18 mil. Good for you. Good for you, Monty. You deserve it, man.
Who wins that division now?
I'm really liking Detroit.
That's what I was thinking today too, because I love Jamal Williams, but Monty is an upgrade.
Yeah. I hate to say it. And this pains me so much. I think it's Minnesota.
Oh no.
I don't think Detroit's there yet.
You better insert a Vikings air horn.
Oh, naturally.
They were such paper tigers though last year.
Like, I know. Yeah. And it was because their defense fell apart. Right. Wow. And I think what we ended up seeing is Duke Shelley showing up at cornerback. And I think they had a lot of vets around like Kendricks who they cut, who were there because they were names from the past, like Adam Thielen. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think Minnesota goes into this offseason with less holes than Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay. I'm so excited to watch Green Bay suck. I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Are they going to roll with Jordan Love? Or do you think they're going to draft? They got to draft, don't they?
I think they end up drafting like a Tanner McKee or a... or a Clayton Tune or a Dorian Thompson Robertson. Like, I think they pick a quarterback, you know, third round.
Competition.
Hendon Hooker.
Oh, ooh. That'd be good. I like that.
I'm saying. But I'm hearing that he's creeping up draft boards. So, yeah, really. Yep. All right, so let's talk some wide receivers. There's some smaller things. Actually, well, you know what? Before we do, Rashad Penny to the Eagles.
He'll play two games. Whatever. Whatever.
Dude, if he's healthy though, holy
shit.
Oh
yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Hey, you did skip over the Bucks signing the king of mid, Chase Edmonds.
Oh, that's right. That happened today. Ooh. Chase Edmonds to Tampa Bay.
Wow.
Hey, you like Giovanni Bernard? Here, have another one.
Remember that hype train last year? Everybody thought Chase Edmonds was gonna be the truth.
I was in, man.
And he changed teams like four times.
Yep. I was in. I mean, think about it, man. It was made perfect sense. Dolphins offensive line, great system. Chase Edmonds is a decent system running back. Like,
he was a Bronco. He was a Bronco for like 5 minutes.
Think about how many checkdowns to Chase Edmonds Baker Mayfield's going to throw next year.
See Rasheed White.
That's fucking just Rashad White. Printing. Just print the money. All right, so let's talk some receivers. We asked last week, will Juju be signed by the time we record? And will Jacoby Myers be signed? And the answer is yes. both have been signed. They both got 3 years for $33 million, even though Jacoby's has much more guaranteed. Juju's is all incentive based.
Okay.
That's Raiders versus Pats, though.
Oh yeah. Here's a bunch of money versus you earn it. You earn it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I loved Jacoby's tweet of Cold World. I was like, dude, right? I love when players just talk their shit.
Yep. Is there, what do you think? Redraft next year. Are you taking a flyer on Juju or Jacoby?
Not personally.
I think Juju would be fine. It depends what round he's in, right? If he's around like 7-8, sure, but I'm not reaching where he was last year where everyone's like, oh, Mahomes is going to make him be a wide receiver 2, low end wide receiver 1, where it's like he's immediately going to fall off a cliff in people's perceptions based on that system as well as the hate for Mac Jones.
Yeah, or Bailey Zappe.
Maybe that may be a good point, and now we can maybe fall in the draft order and you can get a value for him, maybe.
It's possible. I actually think Jacoby probably has more fantasy points next year of the two.
Oh, yeah, because now they have, aside from just Adams, because they got rid of Waller, right? So what other, I mean, Renfro is coming back, but.
And Mac Hollins is gone. So it's really just, you know, Jacoby and Davante Adams. So let's see. We've got Sterling Shepard re-signing. I know how exciting that is. Alan Lazard to the Jets. Thoughts?
I need to apply to work at the Jets because they will hire anybody.
Yeah. Like okay. I said earlier, it's crazy how Rodgers is willing players to that team.
It's... I'm telling you, man, that guy's going to run for office someday, and it's going to suck.
How are you going to pay Alan Lazard $44 million on top of having Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore? I don't get it.
Because Aaron Rodgers called you?
go sun your butthole somewhere else, you hippie.
Go practice your semen retention in some other fucking cave. Like, did you hear that he said that he was 90% sure that he was going to retire before he went into his darkness retreat?
He's so full of shit, dude. His ego would not let him share a stage with Brady. No way in hell. No. He's so full of shit.
I know. Oh, he's obnoxious. So, I mean, what do you think? Does Green Bay get a first round pick?
No. I don't think he's, unless the Jets are that dumb.
Ryan, what do you think?
I don't think they get a first rounder out of it.
There's a world, gentlemen. There's a world, and I'm going to put this out here right now just in case because I want to look like a genius when really I'm just really high. The Jets trade this year's first round pick to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers, right? And they use those two first round picks to trade up into the top 5 and get Will Levis.
I don't not see that happening, right? Like, it's in the realm of possibilities. I think that trade is a package, though, right? It's probably going to be like some picks, a receiver, because Green Bay has to get something to set their new quarterback up. Because who do they have? They have
Dobbs and Watson.
And Michael Mayer, apparently, according to all the mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's crazy.
I don't think Jordan Love has it per se, but. You know, you can get by with Watson and Dobbs and Michael Mayer and skill position players and a decent offensive line. But, I mean, that defense is going to need to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
True.
I don't think Jordan Love is lighting up the scoreboard.
Like Florence and the Machine.
Exactly. Read my mind, dude. Read my mind. So I've got a couple other mid news roundup. JD McKissick released, tragedy.
His neck was all messed up, right? He had that like plate put in or something last year.
Yep.
Rest up, King.
Travis Homer to Chicago as a pass blocker. That's pretty much it, you guys. I mean, there was a lot and then not much for fantasy at the same time.
Paris Campbell, wide receiver like 70 last year. He went to the Giants.
Yeah, he's on the Giants now. I still think the Giants go Quentin Johnson or JSN in round 1.
Yeah, 100%. what position do they draft from? They're like 20 something.
I think they might be 22, 24,
25.
Damn.
I don't think JSN makes it that late.
No.
Unless they trade up.
It could be Quentin Johnson.
Yeah, it probably will be.
So, I mean, we're getting closer, man. We're seeing pro day workouts. I saw Tajay Spears ran a 4.48 at his pro day today. Short Kings, unite. We love you. I heard Jalen Carter looked like shit at his pro day.
Dude, his brain probably has to be so far beyond football at this point.
Mm-hmm. So, there's been a lot of talk on Chicago Sports Talk Radio. If Jalen Carter's there at 9, do you take him for the Bears? And you got to say yes, right? I mean, he's the best athlete football player in the draft.
Yeah, trust polls, man. It's all you can do.
He's killing it right now, man. He's still killing it. Everyone's mad that the didn't sign like a whole bunch of the big name free agents, but like he's always said, you want to build through the draft.
Yeah. And what's up with the Bengals paying Orlando Brown when the Chiefs paid the exact same amount of money to the guy they picked up? Is Orlando Brown just like not worth it to them anymore? Or like,
I don't know. That was a weird play. I know the Chicago angle. They were like, we never had any interest. He doesn't fit the body type and play type of the guy that we look for in that position. And that's why I'm just like closing my eyes, submitting to whatever Poles is doing, because last year he was trying to shed contracts. So like, I think this is the first year that people are going to see what that team is supposed to look like in terms of schematics, right? Yeah. Like, because now they have the resources to get 4-3 D linemen. They have the resources to get those rushers. So we'll see what happens, man. It's, as always, this is like the best part of the football season, because like the possibilities are endless and everyone's going to the playoffs next year.
Right.
I mean, I will say this time last year, Ryan was all those fucking Jags, right?
They did it.
They did it.
And they're going to do it again.
Yeah. It's their division to lose, man.
I like them this year again.
I mean, so far they haven't led any reason not to. They're probably going to they did well in the draft. They've been doing well in the draft.
Hopefully this is like Trevor Lawrence like breakout season. It's his third season.
He was hot at the end of last year.
Do you think they draft a running back this year as a bruiser to ETN?
Yeah, they probably should.
It's weird though, they used Hasty as a pass catcher and not like a between the tackles guy.
Where are the Jags picking? Do they even have a first rounder?
It should be the early 20s.
They're probably like 27.
Because they were in the playoffs last year. I mean, 27, you know, they're not going to take someone.
24, sorry.
24. They're not going to take anyone in round one.
No.
But I could see it. I know they need defensive help. They could use a little help on the line. Maybe another receiver. Because you got to run someone out there next to Calvin Ridley. No, Zay Jones is still there. So their receivers are good, but while we're here, before we end, who's the rookie running back, Shane, that you think would be the best fit as the bruiser in Jacksonville's zone blocking attack?
I'm not going to lie, I don't know schemes. So if it's a bruiser, there's two guys, right? There's Charbs and Roshan.
Roshan in Jacksonville would be really fun.
So how many?
I like Charbonnet, though, there, too.
But I want Charbonnet to go somewhere where he plays all three downs.
Okay.
That's true.
And as someone who has, in our big money league, Travis Etienne is my keeper as a 15th rounder, I would like it if he continued to be the lead back in Jacksonville.
That's true.
Preferably. I mean, I could see, you know, I was thinking like maybe one of those like beefy pass catchers like your Kenny McIntosh I don't know, some of the later round guys that maybe don't test super well. Mo Ibrahim, Lou Nichols.
Dude, Mo Ibrahim did nothing for me on tape.
I was just watching the center, John Michael Schmitz, the whole time. Fucking rules.
I like Dwayne McBride a lot. He's a lower end guy, but he runs pretty mean.
There's a couple of those guys I liked last year, and they're, you know, in the XFL now.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, also, can I say I want to welcome PJ Walker to Chicago as the Bears' backup? Former XFL star, of course.
Hell yeah.
He fucking did it, man. There's an XFL player on the Bears. That's so cool. All right. Any last thoughts before we go?
Do we see Aaron Rodgers? I know we're recording a day early. Do we see Rodgers traded tomorrow? On Friday?
Yeah. No. A Friday?
No. He's going to draw this shit out as long as possible.
Yeah. Well, everyone enjoy the tournament, March Madness, that just started.
Oh, yeah. I love March Madness. Yeah. I watched all the games.
My brackets already busted. I had Arizona in the final game, so they lost today to Princeton.
Terrible. Losing to an Ivy League school is so terrible.
Yep.
All right. Well, until next week, hopefully good free agency news to chomp on. We'll talk more scouting, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Take care.
See ya.